Amen.
It never fails. I've been going here for over about 20 years now, and I still get absolutely nervous getting up in front of everybody. But we're going to try to do something a little bit different this morning. And naturally, I sing with soundtracks all the time, but with the boys learning instruments, and we're going to do the best we can for the Lord and do a few instrumental songs for you, or they will be. And I hope you enjoy it. And like I said, we've never done it quite like this before, so you just keep us in your prayers that we'll just... Whether we make a mistake or not, we're still doing it for the glory of Jesus. Ryan's going to... This one's going to feature Ryan picking on the guitar and Jordan on the banjo. A song called I Saw the Light.
Thank you.
We're still working on some other instrumentals for Ryan as he's progressing and picking on the guitar, which I will say this, I'm proud of my children. You know, for me, even though I like singing for the Lord, I much prefer anymore just to play instrumental music, and for me, it's soothing to the soul. And I just thank the Lord that the children are, they're not doing this because Dad wants them to, even though, yes, I want them to, but they're doing it because they want to serve Jesus in playing music. And I thank the Lord that they have that desire. When I get nervous is when I start singing, so you all just keep me in your prayer. I might be able to fake it when I'm just playing rhythm and that's it, but when it comes to my vocals, that's a totally different story, but I'll get through it. Right now, we're going to try one called Are You Washed in the Blood? Now, Austin's going to bring out his ukulele. He's starting to play harmonica, too, but that may be another time. So you need it down just a little better. Just press the button there. There you go. Jordan, is that banjo in tune, buddy? Putting new strings on, that thing's still getting out of tune, so. Rick, we'll get just a little bit more in the monitor on that. Thank you. Here's one for you called Mansion Over the Hilltop. Thank you. One thing I'll do, we'll say, and it's like I says, it's all I know. We've all deal with it on a daily basis. Because like I said, you know, the flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. And sin, when you ain't careful, sin will take you farther than you you'd ever imagine. I mean, we all deal with stuff in life, and I've experienced that in the past too. And now, like I said, it's a daily battle. And we just got to be constant in prayer and reading the Bible. And I don't read the Bible the way I should, and that's Jamie's fault, and that takes me away further from God. And like I said, you know, I just, you know, we all just need to be in constant prayer and keep our mind upon Jesus. And he's there to forgive us every time we ask him. But we just got to keep pressing forward. Ryan right now is going to do and these are soundtracks now. So he's going to do an old song called "I Want to Stroll Over to Heaven with You." This next song I'm going to try to do for you, it's been a long time since I've done it, and it's got a beautiful message in behind it, and I was asked to do this song called "Deeper Still." Sometimes the load I carry seems more than I can take. When I'm barely treading water in a flood of deep heartache, through all this pain and suffering,
He promised we could make. 'Cause when we're in over our heads, we're still beneath His feet. When I find myself sinking so deep that I can't stand, that's when He reaches deeper still and holds me with His hand. Sometimes the storms we go through are somehow part of His will, but through the floods I have found His love is deeper still. Now this is not the first time, and it won't be the last, but I know my God is faithful, and soon the storms will pass. It's through these times of trials that I've learned His strength is real. That's when He proves once again His love is deeper still. When I find myself sinking so deep that I can't stand, that's when He reaches deeper still and holds me with His hand. Sometimes the storms we go through are somehow part of His will, but through the floods I have found His love is deeper still. Through the floods I have found His love is deeper still.
Can you say hello to them?
Hello.
All right. I used to try to get her to do that, and she would just stay silent on me. Right now, Lauren's going to help me on the course of this song, and actually she has her very own pink microphone that y'all don't see this morning, but whenever she started doing this song, I didn't know that she knew the words to it, and she got up in a church with me and started singing it. She got a big applause, and I was like, well, looks like she's going to have her own brand new microphone. And she looks at me in front of the church and says, yes, Daddy, and I want a pink one, too. I didn't know they made one, but God blessed her with one. So, right now, we're going to do the old song called Jimmy, Wherever You're At, I Won't Have to Worry Anymore. My burden's heavy, and the road seems rough and long. Sometimes my feet grow weary, and so sore. But a brighter day is coming, soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. Thank you.
when life is over and I've said my last goodbye. I'll see my Savior standing at the door, and then I'll hear Him say, "You're welcome, and all your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore.
Now the biggest child's going to come up and sing with me, but go ahead, brother. I'm hoping Lauren will pick up the mandolin eventually. So it might be all bluegrass here at some point. I'm fine with that. But
Lauren and I are learning a new song, so eventually maybe next month we can sing it.
Sometime, so. Yeah. Title of the song, we're going to do you a couple more here. And title of the song is, well, let me ask you this. Of all the things that we all forget in life, how many forgot the day that Jesus came into your heart? I can't, because I can remember I was 10 years old and I can't remember, like the song says, I can't remember what the preacher was preaching about. I don't remember his name or anything like that. But whenever I was asked by a family member if I wanted to get saved during the invitation, as a little boy, I just said no. But whenever I said no, it was like a knife went through my heart, and I knew who was calling me. And I thank the Lord for Him saving my soul whenever He did. And I can't thank Him enough. The title of the song is called I Got Up and Went.
When the Spirit said come, I got up and went. There at an altar of repentance I knelt. In a little while, Jesus passed by, lifting the burden of sin from my life. I stayed right there till the battle was done, and I rose up with shouting that the victory had come. I remember the time when the Spirit said come, I got up and went. I did not go when the singer had sung. When the offering was taken, I did not come. When the preacher had preached, I stayed in my seat, stiff as a board. When the choir started singing, just as I am, I did not budge, I had taken my stand. And then something happened, thank God both of my feet, walking right down the aisle. When the Spirit said come, I got up and went. There at an altar of repentance I knelt. In a little while, Jesus passed by, lifted the burden of sin from my life. I stayed right there till the battle was done. Then I rose up a shouting that the victory had come. I remember the time when the Spirit said come, I got up and went.
Well, I do not remember what the sermon was about. Could I remember the preacher's name? I had my doubt. But I remember the time when the Spirit of God spoke to my soul. He called me by name and he listed my sins. Said, child, you must be born again. I fell on my face, felt amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
When the Spirit said come, I got up and went. There at an altar of repentance I knelt. In a little while, Jesus passed by, lifted the burden of sin from my life. I stayed right there till the battle was done. Then arose up the shouting that the victory had come. I remember the time when the Spirit said come, I got up and went. I remember the time when the Spirit said come, I got up and went. I remember the time when the Spirit said come, I got up and went. Got up and went.
I hope you remember that time when you got up and went. If you feel the Lord's tugging at you, or whether you're saved or not, feel free to come up here and pray anytime.
My best friend stayed with me on Friday night, and she had rented the movie I Can Only Imagine. And in the movie, the kid's dad, he was really abusive to him and his mom, and he didn't go to church. But his mom sent him to church camp one week, and when he came back, he had found out that his mom left because his dad was so mean to him. And that kid was stuck with his abusive father, and so the kid started going to church, and as he grew older, his dad was a football player, and he wanted his kid to play football, but he was more towards like the music side. And his dad told him that he was never going to amount to anything, that he could never be what he wanted to be. And so when the kid finally got on with his life and moved out, he like started writing music, and he got in a band. And when he was little, in the movie, it showed that at church camp, they made him have a journal. And in the journal, it said, like, I will forgive blank. And he never filled it out. And so years went on in the movie, and he came back to that book. And his dad got diagnosed with cancer. And so he wrote in his book, I will forgive my dad. And that just really hit me hard. Like, in the lesson this morning, it just, what Jeremy said and what everybody was talking about just really spoke to me. So just remember me when you pray.
This last song we're going to do for you is called Jesus is Living in Me. I had lived there, my life had no meaning, till I heard about Calvary. Then I knelt down in prayer, the Lord met me there. Now Jesus is living in me. In my feet when I'm walking, in my tongue when I'm talking, in my eyes, and now I can see. He's in the songs that I'm singing, in my heart His joy is ringing. Jesus is living in me. Through the valleys He has brought me, to the top of the mountain, and over life's troubles, troubled seas. And now I sing for His glory, songs that tell the great story, 'cause Jesus is living in me. He's in my feet when I'm walking, in my tongue when I'm talking, in my eyes, and now I can see. He's in the songs that I'm singing, in my heart His joy is ringing. Jesus is living in me. He's in my feet when I'm walking, in my tongue when I'm talking, in my eyes, and now I can see. He's in the songs that I'm singing, in my heart His joy is ringing. Jesus is living in me. He's in the songs that I'm singing, in my heart His joy is ringing. I know that Jesus is living in me.
Professional singers.
That's right.
All day long. And I've listened to them and haven't got much out of it.
Yeah.
And then you take a family like this and I can really feel the spirit of the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
They didn't, the first three or four songs, they didn't say a word. And I could feel the spirit of the Lord in that way, and I really could. And I appreciate that. They're going to have to get Rachel on the violin. Fiddle. Whatever. Fiddle. Not the violin, a fiddle. You get a banjo and a mandolin and a fiddle, you made it. We're going to have to get you on the fiddle. All right, anybody else?
Brian, I thought they sounded better than Lester McBlack. I'm telling you, that was good picking.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I enjoyed it.
I did too. Yeah. I did too, every bit of it. Every bit of it. I enjoy the Spirit of the Lord being here. I'm thankful that the Spirit of the Lord you can worship Him and you can feel His presence through that.
Amen.
And as Stan a lot of times says, music prepares the heart.
Right.
It prepares the heart for the Word.
Right.
And we've come to the most important part.
Right.
And that's the Word. I'm going to ask Pastor Rob if he'll come. And I'm going to ask God's anointing upon the Word this morning. Father, we're grateful for your blessings upon us, dear God. We have truly sat here and worshiped you. We have felt your presence through the Holy Spirit, dear God, through these ones that have just, they've not come to entertain. They just come and they've blessed, and you bless through them. I'm thankful for that, dear God. Thank you. Continue to bless this family, Lord, and bless them wherever they go and whatever they do. We ask your blessing now, dear God, as we come to the most important part. The Word says, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God.
Right.
If there'd be one here today, dear God, that doesn't know you, someone that maybe has slipped back, someone that just wants to or needs to draw closer, we pray, dear God, that you would speak through the Word. And we pray the anointing would come down right now. As it's already been here through the singing and the play, we want the anointing, dear God, through the spoken Word this morning. So be with Rob, dear God, and help us to hear you through his spoken words. In Jesus' name.
Morning.
Morning.
If you've got your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3. And I want to reiterate, that was amazing, Collie family. That was amazing. That was anointed. That was spiritual. And if you struggled, but you made it through that whole thing and never felt God's Spirit, I mean, you fought to not feel it, and you made it through, and you didn't feel God speaking through any of that, well, you need to be down here praying. Because God moved from the first note to the last note. It was amazing. God's movement, God's Spirit is here, and God's speaking. I'm going to try to keep you real short, because I can't add to what God's already done. I can't add to what God's already done. But if you'll turn to, for just a few minutes, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 3, and if you'll stand as we read the Word, verse 13, Exodus 3 and 13, if you can stand, if you can't, we understand, says this: And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. You may be seated. For just a couple of minutes, I just want to talk about I am. You know, the Bible says here, Moses, Moses didn't consider him a guy that was a leader. He didn't consider himself a guy that people would follow. He didn't consider that he was a guy that could stand up. Yet God told him, he said, you go down to my people and you tell them, I'm going to take them out. I want to take them out. And then you go to Pharaoh and you tell Pharaoh, it's time to let my people go. And I think he wondered and he probably thought, who am I going to say to Pharaoh? Now, it's going to be hard enough. It's going to be hard enough to tell the children of Israel, whom I haven't been around for about 40 years, left them in a bad way, haven't been with them, been part of them, and I'm supposed to come to them right now and say, come on, let's go, follow me. Follow me. He said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, you tell them that I am has sent you. Right. Not I was has sent you. Not I'm going to be one day has sent you, but that I am right now. Tell them that the one who was, the one who is, and the one who will be forever, the one that was alive, and the one that was dead, and the one that is alive again forevermore, you tell them, I am right now all that they need. You tell them, I am right now all the power that they need. And when you stand before Pharaoh, you tell him the same thing. You say, I am has sent me. And when Pharaoh says, who is I am? You tell him that he is, I am the one you don't want to mess with. I am the one that you don't want to come up against. I am the one that you don't want to fight against. I am the one that's going to do whatever I want to you to make you do what I want you to do, to let my people go. He said, you tell them, I am has sent you. And I want to just talk real quick about a couple of different things. First, I am present.
Yeah.
God said, I am present for you. I am present. You see, the Bible says it like this. And I like to quote this, and I think I do it maybe too often. But I like it, because the Bible says in Psalms that thou art the Holy One that inhabits eternity. He inhabits eternity. He inhabits yesterday, he inhabits today, and he inhabits tomorrow, and he inhabits forever. He said it like this, I am God the same yesterday. I am God the same today, and I am God the same tomorrow. So the one that led him out yesterday, the one that will lead you out today, and it's the one that will lead you out tomorrow when you're going through what it is you're going through. He said it like this, I am God and I change not. Psalm said he's a very present help. He said, I am right now. I am right now in your life, where you're at and what you're going through. He said, and that's what I want to talk for just a minute real quick. To the lost that's here this morning, okay? I want to talk to the lost for just a minute. Now, listen to me, church. You listen with me because we need to pray for the lost. Lost, you can't get away from him. You can't get away from him. He's present wherever you go. He's present no matter where it is you've got your feet. They talked about the feet walking. Listen, wherever your feet takes you, Jesus is there. David said it like this. Let's read. I'm going to read to you real quick. Don't do this often. But I'm going to read to you out of Psalms 139, starting in verse 13. Now let's go back to verse 7. David says, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, he said, thou art there. Listen, if you're unsaved, you can't get away from him. You can't get away from him. No matter where your feet takes you, he says, if I go up in heaven, I'm going to find that you're with me there. If I think, man, God ain't in hell, and you go down into hell and make my bed there, God says, I'm going to be right beside you right there. He says, if I get on the wings of the morning and I fly to the uttermost part of the sea. In other words, listen, if you hop on a boat and you go to the deserted island, there ain't no life there. There ain't no animal. There ain't no people. There might not be vegetation, just you. Listen, David said, behold, you are there. You're right there. And with your right hand, you'll be there. With your left hand, you'll be there. With your mind, you'll be there. He said, God, you're going to always... Listen, if you're not saved, you can't get away from him. No matter where you go, you think, if I run to the beer joint, I bet some people run to the beer joint. To get... Listen, you sit down on that stool, God's sitting right beside you.
Right. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't like that. Oh, you just said God's in a beer joint. I'm telling you what, God said it like this. I am. The Bible says in Psalms that God said, I am the one that fills the earth. I am the one that completely covers the earth. He said, I am the one that is there. Listen, if you're lost, God is there after you. He's there after you. He's not there for you. He's there after you. See, you're not His, and when you're not His, He wants you to be His. You're the reason He came. So if you're lost this morning, listen, Jonah one time tried to get away from Him. Jonah, God said this to Jonah. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, okay, to Tarshish I go. He said, the Bible says it like this. Jonah went to get on a boat to Tarshish to get away from the presence of God. To get away from the presence of God. And Jonah would tell you that you can't get away from the presence of God. He said it like this. He said, I got in the boat and they threw me in the water and I ended up in the fish's belly. And the Bible says, Jonah tells us this. He said, behold, you took me down to the depths of the sea. He said, down to the bottom of the mountains, down to the ocean where life, where the world, earth goes up. He said, I was in the very depths and I heard you there. I felt you there. And that's where I cried. Why? Because you are even in the very bottom of the ocean. You can't get away from the presence of God, church. And lost, if you want to try, you try. You give it your best shot. And see if you can find where you can't, find Him. See if you can go where you don't feel Him. Listen, church, that's the same way with you and with me. You can't get away from the presence of God. He's there where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's happening. But the difference in you and the lost is He's there after the lost, but He's there for you. He said, I'm there to help you. I'm there to work for you. I'm there to bless you. I'm there to comfort you. I'm there to provide for you. I'm there to give you what you need. You can't get away from Him, church. That's a good thing for you. Why? Listen, even in the midst of your storm. Now, I thought about this for a minute. In the midst of your storm, you need Jesus. You know, Jesus can calm the storm, but He does it different ways. Listen, one day, I'm going to get all tied up here. My goodness. One day, the Bible says that Jesus said to the disciples, you get in the boat, you go to the other side. I'll meet you there. And He stayed there and he ministered and He sent the multitude, ministered to the multitudes, and then He sent them away. The Bible says He went up on a hill. He went up on a hill to pray. And in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest time of the night, the Bible says He went. There was a storm in the sea. And the disciples were having a hard time. It says Jesus went walking towards them on the water. And listen what happened. There was a storm at sea. And you know the story. I'm going to jump quick. Peter got out of the boat because Jesus said get out of the boat. Listen, if Jesus tells you to do something, just do it.
Do it. Right.
Just do it. Right. Isn't that an old commercial? Just do it like you had the right idea. Right. If Jesus says do it, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Just do it. Bible says that the storm was raging. The sea was rough. The winds were boisterous. And Peter went on the water to Jesus. He started to sink because he looked away from Jesus. Bible says, this is what I want to get to though. In the middle of your storm, the Bible says Jesus reached down and grab the hand of Peter. When you're in the middle of your storm, church, and you need help, reach up. When you reach up, Jesus will reach down. The Bible says He grabbed the hand of Peter and lifted him up. And they went to the boat. Now listen. Listen, they got in the boat. The Bible says this. And when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. Jesus didn't have to say a word and the wind ceased. Everything got calm. Everything simmered down. Listen, their storm, just because the presence of God was there, just because the presence of Jesus was there, just with Jesus in your life, your storm will calm. Listen, another time, Jesus got in the boat with them and He said, come on boys, let's go to the other side. And again, the storm came, the winds raged, the waves were high. And the Bible says this time though, Jesus spoke to the storm. He said, peace be still. He rebuked the waves, said the wind stopped and the waves went away and everything got calm. Listen, in your storm, if you'll just invite Jesus into your storm, sometimes His presence stops it, sometimes His voice stops it. No way around it though. Jesus, I am, ever present in your life, will stop and calm your storm. And if He doesn't calm it, He will calm you in it. He will calm you in it. I am ever-present. Listen, he said, I am caring. And I like this. Jesus said, casting all your care upon him. So Paul, casting all your care on him because he cares for you.
Right.
Psalm said, do it like this. Listen, if you're worried, if you suffer with anxiety, Jesus said, cast whatever you care on me. Listen, he said, don't stop casting those. Just keep casting. Sometimes, you know, I thought about this. Sometimes we preachers, we say things that we think sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. Me, all right? Sometimes I think I say things that sounds really smart. But if I think about it later, I think, really, did I say that? All right, here's what we say. Here's what I say sometimes. And I don't say it about people in particular. I just say it about us as a church. I say sometimes we come with our problems and our worries and our cares right where we should go, right to the altar, right to Jesus' feet, and we lay them down. But then I say sometimes we pick them right back up and carry them right back with us. But you know, I don't know that happens. I don't know that you do that. So I thought, what in the world? Who am I to say that? I don't know your spirit. Sometimes it's just that life keeps happening. Life keeps happening. You're going through a storm because of a situation. And just because we prayed once, it doesn't stop. So the thing keeps happening. Sometimes you got to just keep praying.
Right.
Sometimes you got to just keep casting.
Right.
Sometimes you got to just keep giving. And God will take it every time. But sometimes you just got to keep giving the same thing because that old devil keeps giving you the same thing.
Yeah.
He keeps coming at you with the same thing.
Right.
Jesus said it like this. You cast and you get it again. You cast and it comes back again and you cast. You don't stop casting and still it gets off of you. Psalm said this. He said, cast thy burden on the Lord and he will sustain thee. Now, I think about it like this. Cares are stuff you're worried about, stuff you're going through. Burdens are for people. When you have a care, a worry, a burden, you have it for people. You think about that mom and dad that's lost. You think about that child that's lost. You think about that grandparent that's lost. We have a burden for them. I hope you have a burden for them. I hope you pray for them. I hope you think about them. God said it like this. You've got that burden, you cast it on me. Again, you cast it on me. You throw it out there on my shoulders. You let me have it because I care for you and I will sustain you. Listen, he said, I've got what you need. I've got what you need. He said, but Psalm says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You see, God said it like this. I've got what you need. I have what you need. And I'll give what you need. Listen, we don't know what he's got. He's got it all. I like to add to that. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills that they're on. Listen, Psalms 24:1 says this. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to him. What you have ain't yours. What I have ain't mine. You see, I own a little bit of land. I don't own it. God owns it. I own a little house. I don't own it. God owns it. I thought about it like this. Jesus said, how much do you own it? I said, well, really the bank owns it for one thing. You know, every now and then I show them pictures so they can see what I'm paying them for. You know, I had a customer tell me one time, did a loan for him for a car. He said, yeah. He said, I'll bring it to your drive-thru so you can look at your car every week. So, okay, bank owns it. All right, but here's what God said to me. He said, how much, if it's yours, can you keep it? Well, I don't know, can I? Well, let me drop a little tornado down on your house and see who has it. How much is it? It's as much mine as God says it's mine. And when God says it ain't mine, it's gone. He says, that's just like my children. God said, they're not yours. They're a gift from me to hold on to for just a little bit. Just a little while they're with you. So I care for them while they're in my house. I care for them while they're alive, but they're not mine. They're his. Jesus said, I have all. I can meet all. Let me tell you a story real quick. I have a friend named Andy Critchfield. He goes to Africa every year. Every year he goes to Africa for about 3 or 4 weeks. And he goes over there and he ministers and he preaches and he teaches. And he goes to this place that has an orphanage and has a school and it has a clinic. He was over there this last trip just a few months ago. He was telling me he was over there. And they go out and they plant. They plant. I don't remember what they were planting. He told me, but my memory's gone. So they were planting this. But here's what happened. They had been in a drought, Al, for weeks, maybe a couple of months. And the guy that he was with that was planting was telling them, we've been in this drought. We need rain. He said every year it goes into a drought. But they said that before they started to plant. And he said, before we started, he said, I prayed.
And I prayed, Father, we need water.
There you go.
Father, they need water. Andy tells me that before they were done planting, they heard the thunder rolling, looked over and saw a dark cloud coming before they finished planting. You say that's just a coincidence. No, that is providence. The Bible tells me that God is the one who controls nature. He says, I am the one who takes care of it. I am the one who makes the rain to fall. I'm the one who makes the rain to not. I was listening to a preacher from a year ago, and he said it like this. He said, I lived down in South Carolina, and I was going to Branson. Where is Branson? Missouri. Starts at Tennessee, but I wasn't right. Branson, Missouri. He said, we had just enough time to be there right on time if we drove straight through. He said, we didn't have time to spare, you know, kind of like Sunday morning. How many of you leave in just enough time to just be late? Don't raise your hand. I mean, I got just enough time to be 5 minutes late. Thank you. Anyway, someone said I'm going to be late for my funeral. Well, you know, if I'm late to die, I don't mind. But anyway, it's what the preacher said. Preacher said we had just enough time to get from A to B to be there right on time. So we were driving down the road. He said my uncle was driving. My wife was in the passenger seat. And he said I was in the back seat. He said we look up ahead and off to the left, there's a storm coming. He said it's a bad one. It was dark. The clouds were heavy and thick. You could see the rain and you could already see up ahead that cars were stopping and pulling over. He said, God, I ain't got time for that. He said, I got in the back seat. He said, I got down on my knees and I prayed, God, we don't have time to stop. We don't have time to slow down. I'm going to go preach your word. I need you to stop that storm. Don't let it get on this side. He said, you can believe me or not. And I do because Elijah did the same thing. It's what he said. That storm came all the way over and rained on the left side of the interstate. And not a drop came to the right side. I mean, God is good. God is caring. God is loving. He said, I am a caring God, and I will do for you what you need me to do for you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Amen. Listen, I am just about done, all right? I'm trying to be quick. But God is good. God is good. He said, I am the way. What way? I am the way through life. He said, listen to me, when you're going through this life, because you are, as you're walking this road, as you're going down this path, he said, I will lead you. David said it like this. David said, he leads me beside still waters. He don't just tell me where to go. He just don't give me the direct. He says, I will go with you all the way. I will be right beside you. I will lead you beside the still waters. He said, I will lead you down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you, God, are with me. He said he leads me every. Listen, when you've got questions in this life, he said, I give you this book. I wrote it down. He said, I give you this book. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. But we got to read them. He said, I give you what you need right here. I give you what you need right there. He said, I will lead you all that you need to know. I will give you. Listen, David said it like this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And the light into my path. Listen, God will lead you with his word. God will lead you with the written word, church. But we got to get in there. We've got to figure out what it says. God says, I will bring back to your remembrance what you need to remember. But I can't remember what I've never put in there. God says, you put it in there and I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Now it gets lost in my head a lot. It gets in there and it's like a black hole in there and it goes away. But God said, I can reach down in the black hole, find what I need, and when you need it, I'll jump. That's what he said. When they ask you about your salvation, when they ask you about your Lord, he said, don't you worry about what you're going to say. Don't you worry about what you need to tell them. He said, when that time comes, you step up to speak, open your mouth, and let me talk. He said, I will give you the words that you need when you need them. I will be there for you. I will lead you and guide you. He said, I will do it through his word, but I'll do it through your spirit. Listen. Abraham, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. One is step by step, one is big picture. Abraham, I want you to pack up and I want you to go. Here's the big picture, Abraham. You're going to go find a new land and I'm going to bless you there. Where is it, God? I'll show you when you get there. So the Bible says he packed up, went. When he got there, God said, right there is where you're going, planter boy, and sit down. So he did that. Later on, he said to Abraham, he said, get up, take your son, and go to a mountain that I will show you. He said, what mountain? He said, I'll show you when you get there. He gave him the light unto his path. He put it out there, the big picture. Listen, but the one day, the Bible says that the wise men saw a star. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for Jesus. And the Bible says they saw his star in the sky. And that star led them right to Jesus. Step by step, it said it moved as they moved. And it guided as they walked. And they followed everywhere it went. And God showed them everywhere to go. And it took them. Listen, when you follow Jesus, when you walk with Jesus and you listen to Jesus and we do what Jesus says, there's always a big old blessing at the end. There's a huge blessing. Abraham got to be the father of many nations. He got the covenant from God. You're blessed because of him. The wise men got to see Jesus. What happens when you follow God? What happens when you walk? What happens when you take those steps? God said, I am the way through life. He also said this, I am the way through temptation. He said it like this in Corinthians. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common unto man. And with every temptation, but listen, let me go back. This is what he said. No temptation taking you, but such is common unto man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Listen to me. He will do for you every time. You go through life and God shows up. The next time you go there, he's going to do it again. He's not going to do it this time and not next time. God can make that. Listen, what's that way? The Bible says Jesus is our. Listen to what the book says. All right. God is faithful, but with every temptation will make a way of escape. Right. What's that way? Listen, he said Jesus is our high. This is what he says. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities. Can I make that, Rob, simple? Because that just confuses me. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched. Listen, this is what it says in my language. We have a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He was in all points tempted like as we are, but without sin. Well, you ask, what's the way? The way in that temptation, when you get in the middle of that temptation, he said, you just reach for me. You just look for me. You'll find me. He said, every man's tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. He said, all you got to do to make it through temptation, A, look for Jesus. And Jesus will be the way through. Listen, this is what he said. He said, I will work within you. You get through temptation by letting the power that's within us. Ephesians says there's a power that works within us. Jesus, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. He said, I'll move inside you, Christian. And when I do that, I'm going to power you from within. Yes. Now, you don't get through temptation on your own. You get through it with Jesus. That's how you get through temptations, church. And they come. It don't matter if you're old, young, or in the middle. Right. Temptations come. You know, I was thinking about this. We know that Jesus went through a lot of temptations when he was an adult. We read about that. You know, they tempt him to do this and they tempt him to do that. But I thought about this. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. And as we were. Listen, sometimes I think maybe the youth might think, Jesus don't know about me. Jesus don't know about me. He didn't go through this. I don't read in his book that he went through. Listen, Jesus was a boy just like you are a boy. Jesus was a kid like you are a kid. You see what? He had emotions. He had feelings. And dare I say, he had hormones. All right? Now, you're going to think this is maybe you should. And I thought about this. When God told me to mention this, I thought, God, you don't really want me to say that in church about you, do you? Because I really don't, but listen, Jesus had hormones and he was a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old boy, right? He wanted to do the wrong thing. Why? Because he was a boy with hormones. He wanted to do the wrong thing. Listen, kids, the Bible says no matter what Jesus wanted to do, he didn't. He gave it to God. He went to God. He walked in the power of God. Listen, he counted on God's spirit being within him. And the Bible says, no matter how many times he wanted to do something, he didn't in the power of God. He did not do it. Listen, you think he never had that temptation? One day he was at a well and he sent all the guys away. He sent all the disciples away. He said, you go. I'm going to stay. And a woman came around. Now, you know this woman. She had five husbands. And the one she was with wasn't her husband. So she wasn't one to not mess around, all right? I'm just going to be honest. She wasn't one to not mess around. Now, Jesus was alone with her. You think he never had an opportunity, a temptation to commit a sexual sin? Right there you go. Yeah. Bible says, though, rather than think on that, he thought on Jesus and he thought on God and he thought on her soul. Instead of that, he gave God to her. Listen, the Bible says when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water and the dove, the spirit of the dove descended on him. Listen, let me get 40 days later, after 40 days of fasting, of eating and drinking nothing, the Bible says he was tempted. Three times we read his temptation. How did he defeat it? He defeated it by saying, it is written in God's word, devil. It is written in God's word, thou shalt not. How do we defeat the devil? How do we make it through temptation, church? We make it with Jesus. That's the only way. I can't make it on my own. Jesus used God's word to get through it, and that's what we got to do. We got to use God's word and God's spirit to get through temptation. He said, I am the way through temptation. Now, I got two more real quick. He said, I am the way to heaven. Right? No, not a way. Not a way. The way. There ain't many paths that lead to heaven. There ain't many ways that lead to heaven. There ain't many people that lead to heaven. There's just one way to heaven. One. He said, I am the door. If any man comes through me, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. No other name given among any that but by the name of Jesus that you must be saved. Listen, the Bible says it like this. He said, no man. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one name, only one person, only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through knowing him, having a personal relationship with him, having salvation from him. And little John said it like this. He said, I write these things unto you who believe in the Son of God, that ye will know that you have eternal life. Not that you hope, but that you know. This morning, if you don't know, we need to get it right. If you think maybe I do, well, I think maybe you don't. Why? Because John said that you would know that you have eternal life. God said, I'm not the author of confusion. When you get it, you'll know it. I will put it in your heart and you'll know it. I'll stamp my stamp of approval, of acceptance, and you'll know it. He said, I am the way to heaven. One more and I'm just about done. You guys, all right, come on. Church, he said, I am coming back. I am coming back. Listen, he said, I'm coming back. He said, it's what he said in John. He said, behold, I go. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, I come again to get you, that where I am, you may be also. Listen, I think about it like this. John wrote in Revelation. He said, listen, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Why was the old one not good enough? No, not for you. God said, that's the old heaven. I want you to have a new heaven. That's the old earth. I want you to have a new earth. He said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the old one passed away. Listen, think about what heaven's like. He's been preparing your place. He's been preparing your heaven for thousands of years. Now, let me ask you this. Whoever built a house? Who built a house? Or had a house built. I didn't build no house. I wouldn't live in a house I built. It'd fall down. Who had a house built? Or maybe built your own house. How long did it take? A year or less? Did it turn out nice? Absolutely. What if you took 2,000 years to build your house? How nice would it be then? That's what Jesus said. He said, I go to prepare. I'm going to start building it. I'm going to start making it. Now, I don't know what kind of dwelling it is. I don't know. Lots of different people say different things. I just know this. Jesus said, I'm starting now, and he ain't done yet. He's still preparing heaven because I ain't there. He's still making my part. He's making my building. He's making it ready just for me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and get you and take you to your place. He said, I'm coming back. The Bible says the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the trump of God. He said, I'm coming back to get my church. Are you ready? This one church you want? I don't know, Al. Maybe only you and me are excited about that.
I don't
know. I just think it's pretty good to get excited about. But listen, church, he's coming back. Listen, the unsaved. Whether you like it or not, he's coming back. I was listening to a preacher talk this morning on church on TV. He said, a lot of people don't believe he's coming back soon. I don't know when he's coming back. It might be now. You know what I've always said? I'm going to live to be 150 years old. So he's got 103 years before he has to come back anyway, right? So, but it could be today. It could be today. Church, are you ready? He said it like this. I'm coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. How's your heart, church? Is there sin in your life? Do you need to get that taken care of? The altar's open. Lost person, you need Jesus. You need salvation. You need the great I am. The altar's open. Church, maybe you're right where you should be, doing what you should be, right in the middle of his will, right in the center. But you just want to thank him. The altar's open. Listen, as we stand, as they sing, as God speaks and the Spirit moves, if you need Jesus for anything, he's here. Come get him.
Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. And don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten, and I'll be alright as soon as I touch Calvary. If my feeble hand of faith could only reach out through this dark and dreary storm of unbelief, and if he'll slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, then I'll be alright as soon as I touch Calvary. Soon now, I'll reach the hill of Golgotha, and I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from the tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right.
Bow your head and close your eyes.
Pause.
Listen,
now I've reached Calvary.
Jesus, nobody's looking. You just raise your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come back to you. I'm going to pray for you. Just me and Pastor Al, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Kenny, looking around. If you need Jesus touch right now, just lift your hand
through
up.
Through this dark and dreary storm of unbelief. Slip his nail scarred hand.
Take that step toward Christ. Nobody's looking. Make it easy for you.
I'll be alright as soon as I touch Calvary. Yeah, I'm alright. Because now I've touched Calvary.
Be seated for just a minute. Al, you got anything?
That's just, I can't add anything to that. That's just powerful.
Bless you.
Yeah, good singing, good preaching. The Holy Spirit's here.
Right.
You know, the Bible says, for those that look for him,
yeah,
the second time shall he. Are you looking for him? I'm not looking for the undertaker. That's not a worry of mine. I'm at the age that I know I have to prepare for that. I'm not worried about that. I went to the funeral home yesterday with Timmy and my wife and my daughter for one of his friends. I'm not concerned about that.
Amen.
I'm concerned about getting ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on my journey. And I tell you, I'm going to close this. I listened to the message. And right about time you finish, I heard something go. Batteries are dead.
Bless you.
They just died.
Bless you.
And I thought, Lord, you did it. Let me hear it all.
Right.
And then they bloop.
God is good. God is good. All right. I have two things real quick. First off, just to let you know, there, if you have a middle school or up, you got a piece of paper like this that should be coming home. VBS for the teens this year, we're going to do a little bit different. We're not going to do 1 week straight. We're going to break it up into Fridays. Fridays at different people's houses. So the first one is this Friday. It's at Tyler and Lisa Vaughn's house from 7 to 9. That is between Gold Town and Kenna on 21 in that subdivision on the left. What's it called? Somebody help me. That new subdivision. Highlands. Yeah, that's it. So if you've got a middle schooler up, or you know a middle schooler up, they're all invited. Invite, bring them all. So that'll start this Friday night from 7 to 9. All right, now, I want to recognize somebody. Every year, we recognize our graduates when they do good. We recognize when they do good in athletics and when they do good in scholastics. I get, and he didn't know I'm doing this, at our bank, I get a prominent magazine called West Virginia Executive. Every year, they honor what they call sharpshooters, West Virginia sharpshooters. These are folks who are out there doing good stuff. These are folks who are out there making things happen, right? These are sharpshooters, shakers, and movers. We've got one in our church. West Virginia Executive Sharpshooter, Dr. Eschenauer. Would you stand up? When I talked to him and told him I saw it, called him to congratulate him, you know what he said? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But in Jesus, we're worthy. You, awesome. Congratulations. You deserve it. And we're glad you're part of us. If everybody would stand.